The scripture reading for tonight is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of the Lord.
Doesn't happen to me that often anymore, but it still does happen to me. You'd think after all this time of, growing or learning or rewiring my neural pathways, that I would have, rooted out this impulse or whatever it is. But, I think maybe there's something about, the things you learn. Like when you're younger, when you first learn things, or things you learn when your brain's still developing, that carries more weight or sinks in deeper, or I don't know how to say it. I'm sort of swerving semi-coherently between language metaphor and my ignorance of brain chemistry, side-swiping them on either side as my synapse misfire. What I mean to say is there are still some Bible passages that I read with that default self-idolatry, evangelical, masochistic, interpretive lens of my youth. And I don't completely know why. It seems, why would this text set it off? I mean, it seems very, I guess you could say, nature forward. Which is positive, verdant, and hopeful. I mean, sure, the extended metaphor becomes a bit tortured, but what do you expect, It's late at night. Jesus has been sitting in this garden with his disciples for a very long time, talking for a very long time. Earlier in the day, he washed their feet, they ate the Passover meal. He's already told them that he's going to be arrested and executed the next day. And so he's just telling them every single thing he can think of to tell them. He's trying to explain in as many different ways, what is about to happen or what is happening now. He's trying to explain, the nature of, God and God's Spirit. And he's trying to explain the meaning of life before the soldiers come get him. So given that context, it's easy to understand that some explanations land better than others. I mean, right after this whole part, Jesus says just straight out at the end, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I loved you. That's real clear. That's real straightforward. But here, it's all kind of this, You know what I think triggers the default self-idolatry, evangelical, masochistic, interpretive lens of my youth? I think it's the burning. I think it's usually the burning. Any kind of fire thing, really. You know, no matter what other lovely things might be being said, it just kind of laser focuses straight to the fire part, you know? My, what do they call it? My, like, evangelical brain? No, that's lizard brain I'm thinking of. Same thing. Anyway, whatever it is, it just puts me at the center. It puts me, myself, at the center of the Bible verse. And it makes me responsible for God's sadistic torture of me. The cutting me off, the throwing me in the fire, the burning me, all because I failed to bear fruit. And then this self-recrimination, why didn't I bear fruit? I thought I wanted to bear fruit. Clearly I didn't want to bear fruit because I'm not bearing fruit. I did not bear the fruit. Even though it still does happen to me sometimes, I recognize it pretty quickly. And I can recover by just simply rereading the text. You know? When at first all I could read was, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Once I shake my head and rub my eyes and read the entire pericope, I can see that the heart of the text is abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. It's not about the burning, it's about the abiding. Jesus says it clearly. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Whatever made me think in my small evangelical brain that like I was the strong actor in this equation, like that I was responsible. Like, if I didn't bear fruit, it was because I somehow made the vine not grow the fruit in me. And it is a metaphor. It's a metaphor. And it's a metaphor in the service of the concept of abiding. It's not about the burning. It's about the abiding. Abide, 8 times. Burning, 1 time. Fire, 1 time. It's 8 to 1, abiding. It's not about the burning. It's about the abiding. Abiding is not like a very contemporary word. It isn't casually used in conversation much. It has an old-timey masterpiece theater kind of feel. You know, and because of its rare highbrowish connotations, it always brings certain things to mind to me when I hear it. You know, a few particular contexts when I hear the word. Like, I hear some generic, proper Southern woman, maybe with a fan and petticoat, saying in her lilting high register, well, I never, I will not abide that language in this home. So it's like a pretty negative usage, like I will not tolerate, I will not stand for or allow. This is more the Middle English sense of the word. Then there is, of course, the great 1847 hymn lyric, which we just sang, Abide With Me by the Scotsman Henry Francis Light. He takes his inspiration not from the use of abide in this week's reading from John's Gospel, but from the very end of Luke's Gospel. After the resurrection, Jesus has explained the scriptures to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they invite him to stay with them. The King James Version puts it so beautifully, old-timey. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Abide and tarry in the same sentence. I mean, that's like an old-timey double word score. Light is close to death from tuberculosis when he writes the lyric, and finds in the disciples' request that Jesus abide with them because the sun is setting. It's a sort of metaphorical prayer for Jesus to stay with him as he dies. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide in me. It's a beautiful and comforting hymn. It's sung at many funerals. And strangely enough, before the kickoff of every single FA football cup final. Unlike John 15, the John 15 use of abide, in the Luke reference, it is Jesus who is doing all of the abiding, as in staying with, dwelling with, remaining behind, moving into one's abode. That's more of the old English sense of the word. And finally, of course, no mention of the word abide goes without my mind conjuring up the dude. Among the many quotable koan-like pronouncements by Jeff Bridges' character in The Big Lebowski, one resonates beyond all others. The dude abides. At the end of the film, after his denouement, the stranger, a bemused, wise cowboy poet played by Sam Elliott, asks the dude how he's doing in light of all that he's been through. You know, the dude answers, strikes and gutters, ups and downs. Well, take care, man, I gotta go. Take it easy, dude, the stranger says as the dude walks back to his bowling lane. I know that you will. The dude stops, turns around to face the stranger and says, yeah, well? And then he holds out his hands, palms up, as if he's gesturing in a gesture of prayer or meditation, and says, the dude abides. This use of abide could mean something like, the dude survives, or the dude carries on, the dude lives on, or remains. But in the larger context of the film, it carries with it this existential, spiritual connotations of the dude is. The dude remains, ever in the present moment. The dude is and will continue to be the undeconstructible dude. And then there's Jesus in John 15, 1 through 8 here. The plain reading of the text, read without fear of the fire, but grounded in curiosity with a bent towards mystery, says, the Father is the vine grower. I am the vine, you are the branches. Any branches that do not bear fruit will be thrown away and burned. Abide in me, Jesus says. If you abide in me as I abide in you, you will bear fruit. A branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, just as you cannot bear fruit if you do not abide in me. Abiding is the difference between bearing fruit and being thrown into the fire. So the burning question is, what does Jesus mean by abide? How do we abide in Jesus, and especially in light of the statement that Jesus is abiding in us? What does it mean that Jesus abides in us? I'm pretty sure it's not the first Southern lady sense that Jesus, like, tolerates us or puts up with us, decides he can stand us. No, Jesus is abiding in us. So maybe it's more like the second sense that Jesus is staying with us, remaining with us, dwelling in us. The dude continues on to his bowling lane, and the stranger turns and addresses the camera and says with a wry grin and knowing eyes, the dude abides. I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that. It's good knowing he's out there, the dude, taking her easy for all us sinners. Maybe when the Jesus abides, he just is. He just is. The undeconstructible Jesus is just with us. And maybe when we abide, it's just the same way. Just take her easy. Just be. No default to try to figure things out or to figure out the calculus of our righteousness or the degree of judgment for our misdeeds or our missed opportunities. Never anywhere does Jesus tell us to grow fruit. Just to abide, and the fruit is born.